So today is November 1st, the Yod Zayin Cheshvan, and it is Parshat Vayera. And I mentioned this last week, but I did a whole three-part series on Hagar, and this was part of it, but we are going to focus on three words. They're bolded right here, Ba'asher Hu Sham. I'm going to make it a little bigger, actually. And we're going to focus on Yishmael. I don't know how to make it bigger right now. Oh, here we go. Okay. Okay. So we're going to, and those words are hard to translate, so we're going to see how it's translated. So, Perek Chaf Aleph, it's Pasuk Yod Dalet. This is after Sarah and Avram had the weaning party for Yitzchak, and Sarah saw Yishmael doing something untoward. The Hebrew word is mitzachek, which I focused on in other shirim. We're going to see different definitions of just what that might have been. And she insists to Avraham that Hagar and Yishmael have to go. Avraham's not happy about this. Hashem tells Avraham, listen to your wife. This is where Rashi brings down that Sarah was the greater prophet than Avraham. And that's where we are right now. Vayishkem Avram Baboker. Avram rose early in the morning. Vayikach lechem v'chemat mayim. He took bread and a leather pouch of water. V'yiten el Hagar. Sam al shichma. He gave it to Hagar. And he put it on her shoulder. V'ete yelet. And also the boy. V'yishalcheha. And he sent her. V'telech v'teta. And she went and she wandered. That could be wandering away from monotheism. But we know she comes back. B'midbar Beersheva, in the wilderness of Beersheva. V'yichlu ha-mayim min ha-chemat. And the water was depleted from the leather pouch. V'tashlech ha-teyel tachat echad ha-sichim. And she tossed, it's a strange word, the boy under one of the bushes. And I bolded the words that are going to be relevant in the commentaries later on. So the bolded words are because they'll have some meaning later. She went and she sat down from afar at about the distance of two bow shots. Ki amra, because she said, Al era b'motayelad, I can't look at the death of my child. Vatesha mineged, she sat afar, vatisat kola vatefk, and she lifted up her voice and she wept. And again, to remind you also, this is the reading on Rosh Hashanah, on the first day. Now it's interesting here that she's the one who wept, and yet God heard the voice of the young boy. And an angel of God called out to Hagar, Min Hashamayim, from the heavens, and he said to her, Malach Hagar, what's with you, Hagar? Al tir'i, don't be afraid, because God heard the voice of the young boy, Ba'asher Hu Sham. So literally, it's very awkward. It means in that he is there. A lot of the Pshatist commentaries, so those are the commentaries that are focusing on the simple meanings of the words and don't like to include much midrash. So they say you have to add a word here to make it understood. Ba'makom asher hu sham, in the place that he is there. But most of the commentaries aren't satisfied with that because they're superfluous words than way. Of course God heard him in the place, in the physical geographic space where he was. So this must have a deeper meaning to it. Ba'asher hu sham, in the place where he is. So that's what we're going to be focusing on today. But we have to finish this section. Kumi si'i atana'ar, get up and lift up the boy. V'hechziki at yadech, and grasp your hand bow upon him. Ki lagoy gadol asimano, I'm going to make him into a great nation. V'yivkach Elokim et einaha, and God opened up her eyes. V'tera be'er mayim, and she saw a well of water. V'telech v'tamalei tachemet mayim, she went and she filled up her water pouch. V'tashk et anahar, and she gave the young boy to drink. V'yivkach Elokim et anahar, God was with the na'ar. I'm just going to tell you the things that are going through my head. When you read something out loud, it's very different than when you say, Vayifkach Elokim et einaha, when he opened up her eyes. It's the same language as Adam and Chava. When they realize they're naked, their eyes are open. And here, Vayihi Elokim et einaha, God was with the na'ar. This is very similar language to describing Yosef, which is very interesting. I don't have anything to say about it. Those are just things that popped up into my head. Vayigdal, and he grew. Vayishev b'midbar, and he settled in the desert. Vayhi rove kachet, and he became an archer. And if you remember, the language that Hagar placed him two bow shots away, so that was almost like telling you, prescient of who he would become. Vayishev b'midbar Paran, and he dwelled in the wilderness of Paran. So these are bolded because it's interesting that first it says he dwelled in the wilderness, and then he tells us the name of the wilderness, or is it a different wilderness? I don't know. Vatikachlo imo isha mi'eretz Mitzrayim, and his mother found him a woman from Egypt, which is, of course, where Hagar was from in the first place. So then we have the famous Gemara that everyone quotes on Rosh Hashanah. V'yamar Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak said, this, it's very interesting because it's just, the context has nothing to do with anything. It's just sometimes the Gemara gives three different quotations of the same rabbi, and that's what this is. It wasn't part of the discussion. It's just a little random and in a list if you look at where it's taken from. So Rabbi Yitzchak said, "Ein danin et adam ela lefi ma'asav sha'oto sha'a." We don't judge a person except for his deeds at that moment. Shene'amar, where do we learn this from? Ki shama Elokim et kol ha'nar ba'asher sham. Because God heard the voice of the young man where he was. So that's, we have this idea that Ba'asher Hu Sham is not geographical. It's actually spiritual. And it has to do with his spiritual state. God heard him where he was in that moment spiritually. And that's how he judged him in that moment. Because, of course, he didn't have to make a well of water magically appear. He could have just died of thirst. And here's the Midrash on that that gives us some more information. And we'll read it in English. The angel of God called to Hagar from the heavens due to the merit of Avraham as he is there. That's our phrase, Ba'asher Hu Sham, due to his own merit. The prayer of an ill person himself is superior to all others. So Hagar got the call in the merit of Avraham, but Yishmael was healed due to his own merit. As he is there, Rabbi Shimon said, the ministering angels leapt to condemn him before God. They said before him, Master of the universe, a person who is destined to kill your children by thirst, will you produce a spring for him? He said to them, what is he right now, righteous or wicked? They said to him, he is righteous. And the word in the Midrash is a tzaddik. He said to them, I judge a person only at his present time. Rise, lift the boy. So there was this whole conversation here between God and the angels before God told Hagar he was going to be okay. And the angels were arguing that God should just let him die based on this future that he is going to, kill your children by thirst. So therefore, mida keneged mida, an eye for an eye. Karma. There's another word for it. But that's one word for it. And in that, what?
Retaliation?
Kind of retaliation, but it's...
Revenge?
No. There's a phrase about when somebody gets what they have coming for them. So just as in the future he would kill the Jewish people...
Just desserts?
Yeah, maybe. So just like when the Jewish people were thirsty, and we're going to see exactly what happened. So he... he should die of thirst as well. That's what they're arguing. But no, Hashem says that's in the future. We're going to see it's not even him, right? It's his descendants. And we judge him according to where he is now. And I think a lot of us are really wishing that something else happened right there in the desert at that time. And I'm hoping that by the end of this year, we won't be wishing that and we'll be more hopeful. So here's the story of what happened to Yishmael's descendants. I always, on a side note, I always find it interesting that the Arabs seem to have embraced the narrative of the Torah in that Yishmael is their forefather. And you hear of a lot of Arabs who are called Ismael or Yishmael or whatever it is. But the Christians have not embraced our narrative that Esav is their forefather. So I just always find that really interesting.
The Arabs reverse the story.
Yeah, that's true. In the Akedah of this week's Parsha, that they say that Yishmael was the one who was almost killed by Abraham. Exactly. Okay, so here's the context for what the Midrash is quoting about when the descendants of Yishmael came to the descendants of Yitzchak and killed them through their thirst. So the harsh prophecy concerning Arabia, Be'ar, Barav, that's Arabia. In the forest in Arabia, did you lodge on the roads of your cousins? So did Danim. These are your cousins. And a lot of people, like when you're in Israel, you'll talk about, yeah, there's some of our cousins over there, like referring to Arabs. And is it, so this is where it first comes from, which I didn't know until I read this. Toward the thirsty they bring water, the inhabitants of the land of Tema, with his bread they came before the wanderer. For because of the swords they wandered, because of the outstretched sword, because of the bent bow, and because of the pressure of war. For so has the Lord said to me, in another year, like the days of a hireling, all the glory of Kedar shall terminate. And the rest of the number of the bows of the heroes of the children of Kedar shall decrease, for the Lord, the God of Israel, has spoken. So here's Rashi on this, the harsh prophecy concerning Arabia about the Arabs. In the forest in Arabia did you lodge? I saw what you did when Assyria exiled my people. So the Assyrians destroyed the northern kingdom of Israel in around the year 710 BCE. The Assyrians were the superpower in the world before the Babylonians, and they did not succeed in conquering Jerusalem. This actually, there's archaeological evidence where we found some sort of stela or something that has the Sanherib, the king of the Assyrians, declaring that all these places he conquered, and about Jerusalem, he says Jerusalem was like a caged bird. And it doesn't say he conquered, and this, of course, is the famous story in Sefer Malachim, the Book of Kings, where they're besieged by the Assyrians, and they wake up one day, and there is a plague, and they're all dead. So they didn't succeed. And that's, I think, when Chizkiyahu is king of Yehuda. So I saw what you did when Assyria exiled my people, and they begged their captors to lead them through your land, since you are the descendants of their uncles. Perhaps you would have mercy on them, and you were going out and lodging in the forest, the road where the caravans pass. So on their way to exile, they were passing through Arab lands, the children of Ishmael, the roads of your cousin, the children of your uncle. Toward the thirsty is customary to bring water, but you, the inhabitants of the land of Tema, did not do so. But with his bread they came before the wanderer. They brought them sorts of salty foods and blown up flasks full of air. And he would eat and ask to drink, and he would put the opening of the flask into his mouth, and the air would go into his innards, and he would die. This might have been fanciful at one point, but after what we've seen, we know that this could easily be true. Another explanation of toward the thirsty they bring water is as follows. I do not do so to your forefather Ishmael when he was thirsty. I reveal to him a well of water. So God saying, you're behaving in the opposite of me. And I gave your forefather Ishmael water. Okay, Yefei Tor is a commentary on the Midrash. I have all the biographies underneath. So Bishut Atzmo, so when the Midrash says that Ishmael was saved in his own merit, remember Hagar was spoken to in the merit of Abraham, but Ishmael was saved in his own merit, Shenimul Bioto Ben Yud Gimel Veloi Kev. This is because he agreed to be circumcised when he was 13 and he didn't hinder it. This he would actually brag about, and this is the Midrash in when it comes to the Akedah, right before the Akedah, the Midrash says that Yishmael says, I was willing to be circumcised for God, and Yitzchak says, oh yeah, you just gave one limb, I'd be willing to give my whole body, and then we have the Akedah. So it's a very interesting thing that he was bragging about it. And also that he his heart cried out to God and he was answered. Because he was a tzaddik at that time, like we learn. But if you want to say, but wait a minute. Remember I told you that Sarah felt that she wanted to kick him out and Hagar? That's because she saw him mitzachek. And that mitzachek, the Midrash tells us, is these three things. Idolatry, inappropriate sexual relations, and murder. And that's what he was doing. That's what Ishmael was engaged in. Then that's why Sarah felt he had to be kicked out. So yesh lashiv, so the Yefei Tor is going to answer that. Sheha agada hazot atya aliba derevi Ishmael. So this agada, that Ishmael was not so bad, is according to the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael, and I bolded that because it's actually not according to Rabbi Yishmael, but it's so interesting that Rabbi Yishmael is part of this midrash about Yishmael. Rabbi Ari Kahn actually talks about that a lot, that you find rabbis with the names of the people they're talking about in Tanakh a lot of times. So it's actually Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, we're going to see a different source that says that, and Rabbi Yishmael is indeed actually one of the people who speaks poorly, who agrees that Yishmael was engaged in these three things. So that was really interesting. De Paligalehu, de Rabbi Akiva, Vashara, Dorshim, Mitzachek, Leganai. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, we'll see a corrected version, argued against Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael and another rabbi that they interpreted Mitzachek as something bad. Vechein, somebody.
Isn't he supposed to be like a little kid?
He's actually 17, and that's going to be come into play. That's going to come into play here. So hold on. V'chein teretz haram zal. So the Ram is Mizrahi, and he's a super commentary on Rashi. B'hadamar b'samuch kaftzu malachei asharet l'katrego. That which is written that the ministering angels jumped to prosecute him. V'kashe l'ma lo katregu mitam avodat elim gilui ariot shvichot yamim. Why did the ministering angels only bring up this future act of his descendants about the thirst and not these three things that he was currently engaged in, idolatry, inappropriate sexual relations, and murder? And even if you want to say that now he's being judged with thirst, which is tit for tat, katregu alav me'averat hatzama shehaya mida keneged mida. They're prosecuting him on the sin of the thirst, and that would be tit for tat, or karma. Mikomakom, achar shelo yachlu lekatreg meota avera. In any case, since they couldn't prosecute him from that, clearly God's not listening. He's saying that's a future act, and I'm judging him as he is now. Hayalahem lekatreg meaverot acherot. They could have prosecuted him from other sins. Ela shetzarich liot lo sfirale. We need to say that this wouldn't have made sense to them. It wasn't reasonable. Vili yesh lomar od. And I, the Yafet Torah, have more to say about that. De kevan de ben shvasre haya, that since he was 17, Linda, this is you, kidil el, like we learn above, adayin tzadik havi, he was still a tzadik, de ein beit din shel mala onshin ad kaf shana. This is a very important concept that I tell my students. God's heavenly court does not punish people until they reach 20 years old. And it actually goes along with modern day psychology and what we know about the formation of the brain and the frontal cortex. And that's from the Tanhuma. And we also can say that from this pain, he actually did tshuva and he was healed. And all the more so because he was exiled from his house of pleasures, his father's house. And exile cleanses sin, v'yisurin memarakin, and going through hard times also empties you of sin, cleanses you. V'kfar amru le'el, and it already said above in the midrash, Yishmael asa tshuva, that Yishmael did tshuva. We're going to see that. V'afshar she'misha'azov shav b'tshuva, and he's saying it was at this moment when he was 17 years old, dying of thirst in the desert, that's when he did tshuva. And all the more so a prayer with intent at the time of his sickness. There are times when Hashem will answer a tefillah even if it doesn't seem logical that that person should be forgiven just based on tefillah. And that's written somewhere else. So you can also say, why didn't they prosecute him that he was an archer, which implies some kind of killing for no reason? Sheperishu, shemilastem et habriot kedeperish Rashi zal. Because there's an explanation that says that he would steal from humans, from people. And that was when Hashem told Hagar that she would have a son. That was part of the explanation. Uben Noach mitzuval gezel. And children of Noach, so even before the Torah was given, are commanded on thievery. Thievery is an act punishable by death before the Torah was given. We can say that's not relevant here either. They felt it was right to prosecute him on something that was tit for tat, the thirst. And also from the answer of God, also this is pushed aside. So then you can say, maybe they were only prosecuting him so that God wouldn't do a miracle, make a well suddenly appear. So even the angels knew that God would only judge him where he was at that moment spiritually, and they were just arguing that God shouldn't make a miracle appear. So those are all really interesting arguments from Rav Shmuel, son of Rav Yitzchak Yaffe Ashkenazi, 16th century Turkish rabbi. So here's Rashi on our pasuk that pulls the Midrash and the Gemara all together. So he says, the lad's voice. From here we learn that the sick person's prayer is more effective than the prayer of others on behalf and is the first to be accepted. Ba'asher hu sham. According to the deeds that he does now, he is judged and not according to what he is destined to do. So that's the Gemara we saw, and here's the Midrash that we saw. For the ministering angels were accusing and saying, O Lord of the universe, for one who is destined to kill your children with thirst, you are bringing up a well. And he answered them, what is he now, righteous or wicked? They replied, righteous. He said to them, according to his present deeds, I judge him. And that is the meaning of where he is. Now, where did he kill the Israelites with thirst? When Nebuchadnezzar exiled them. So this says Nebuchadnezzar, not Sancheriv. I don't know if that's a mistake or wrong. As it is stated, the harsh prophecy concerning Arabia toward the thirsty bringing water, when they led them beside the Arabs, the Israelites said to their captors, please lead us beside the children of our uncle Ishmael, and they will have mercy on us. As it is stated, the caravans of the Dedanites. Do not read Dedanim, but Dodim. And these Ishmaelites went forth toward them and brought them salted meat and fish and inflated skins. The Israelites thought that they were full of water, but when one would place it into one's mouth and open it, the air would enter his body and he would die. Okay, and now we have the Tzeda Lederach, which is another super commentary on Rashi. So, and he also quotes the Mizrahi that we saw in the Yafei Tor on the Midrash. Af kasha kivan shelo yachlu lekatrag miota vera shel tzama. So it's difficult since they couldn't prosecute from the same sin of thirst. Hayalem lekatrag ma verot shebeyado. They should have prosecuted him from all the sins that he did have in his hand. As Rashi explained, with the definition of mitzachek, which is what Sarah saw, that it's idolatry, inappropriate sexual relations, and murder. V'shame yesh lomar she'agada hazot ate aliva de Rabbi Shimon. So here he's quoting the same midrash, but he's quoting it correctly, that it's Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai from Bereshit Rabba, and that it's according to his opinion that Yishmael did not do those three things, but rather it was not as bad as that. And all the other rabbis interpreted this mitzachek as those three capital sins. So he says the same thing we saw before. He doesn't understand how they could have prosecuted Yishmael on those three things because he wasn't yet 20. He was only 17. And the heavenly court doesn't judge until 20. Uli Yishmael lo haya ki im yod zayin shana. Yishmael was only 17. Beha de lo katragu mimasim shebeado al shem ha'atid. And since they were not successful in prosecuting him from the actions in his hand, by way of the future, Yishlomar de masim beyadim akshav asat shuva besof yomav. So with regard to the deeds that he had committed in his lifetime, he did tshuva at the end of his days. So the Yafei Tor said he did tshuva maybe at that moment when he was dying of thirst. And here the Tzeda Lederach is saying he did tshuva at the end of his days, which we're going to learn about in next week's Parsha, and we'll see it at the end of our shir also, when he and Yitzchak buried their father together. B'chein katav Maral, and that's also what Maral says. V'nirali d'mehai tam Elohaya dan Avram et Yishmael beno lemita. And it's for this reason that Avram did not judge his son for death, al ha'averot shebiyado, for the sins that he had already committed. Afal pi shebnei Noach mitzuvim alim, even though children of Noach before the Torah were also commanded on those three things. L'fi she'adah b'roch ha'kodesh yechzor b'tshuva, because he knew with divine inspiration that Yishmael would grow up and do tshuva. Ve'al tashivenim kein lama pirish Rashi le'el ve'yara be'enei Avram. And don't come back to me and say, but what about what Rashi said, that he was it was bad in his eyes, al odot bano, on behalf of his son, meaning Avram clearly was disappointed in his son. How you can challenge, don't challenge me with that. Sheyatza l'tarbut ra, that he had gone into this evil culture. Ki yesh lomar dechashav Avram achshav sheyeh megorash mimenu lo yelo mi sheyochiach ota. Because why was Avram so sad about his son? Because he thought, now that I have to exile him, there won't be anybody to give him rebuke. He won't get disciplined from anybody. Kedei sheyashuv v'tshuva, so he would return and repent. That's what it appears to me. It's very interesting. So Avram always trusted in Ishmael, that Ishmael would, in the end, do the right thing. And he was upset about the having to banish him, because he wouldn't be there to rebuke him and to discipline him as a father. So that's why Avram was so upset. Okay, now we have the Chizkuni. This English is from Sefaria, and it's not exactly the English of the Hebrew. I like the English better, and I was happy to see that the English translation they used is by Eliyahu Monk, who's a 20th century rabbi who translated a lot of great commentaries. So we're just going to read the English translation and know that it's mostly Eliyahu Monk and a little bit Chizkuni. Due to the condition he found himself in, Bashar Hashem, according to Rashi, the condition referred to is his legal moral condition. He had not been wicked enough as yet to deserve to die on account of that. If you were to ask that the Talmud in Sanhedrin 72, in stating that a 13-year-old boy has committed a far lesser offense, is to be stoned to death to prevent him from becoming a far more guilty person, so this, of course, is a Ben Sora Mora, I could have given a whole sheer just comparing Yishmael with the Ben Sora Mora, because the Ben Sora Mora is this boy that's put to death because of the person, the adult he's going to become in the future, whereas Yishmael is saved despite the adult he's going to become in the future or his descendants. There's a lot written on it, and I'm not going to go into it, but it's on the source sheet if you're interested. The difference there is that that son had already begun his career as a teenager by committing criminal deeds, whereas at that age, Ishmael had voluntarily submitted to circumcision, so back to that merit that we saw before, something for which he deserved a great deal of credit. I've departed from the author's, that's the Chizkuni, text somewhat by pointing to a great merit acquired by Ishmael. He had not exhausted that merit at this stage, seeing he was there as opposed to here. Hagar distanced herself from her dying son to avoid having to watch his death throes. A totally different interpretation, even though he was in a desert with no chance of obtaining water. The emphasis is on the word who, a reference to God, who can provide everywhere. So who sham, he is there with a capital H and not a lowercase h. Okay, Sifte Koin, Rav Mordechai Koin, 17th century, student of Rav Yosef Cairo. V'tashlech et hayeled v'tachat echad hasichim. So she tossed the boy under one of the bushes. Tirgem onklus, so the Aramaic translation of our text, tachut chad min ilanya, under one of the trees. So Targum Onklus does not use the word for bush, he uses the word for tree. V'chilohe ta'atore chola lichtov tachat echad min ilanot. Why didn't the Torah just say one of the trees? The Torah actually doesn't use the word ilan, it's a later development. The Torah uses eitz as for tree. So it's an interesting question in that way also. But in any case, the Torah specifically says bushes. Ele echad asichim asher shesacha. So the Ibn Ezra has an explanation in the beginning of Bereshit about how there are several words that are both trees or bushes, living things, plants, and also speech. So sicha is a conversation. Amir, my husband's name, Omer, Lemor, Amir is the highest tree branch. Mizmor is a song, and Zmura is pruning a grapevine. So there's a lot of these different things. It's very interesting to think about. I don't have a deeper explanation, but here we're getting a deeper explanation. So under one of the bushes, because he conversed, the Amrala Kadosh Baruch Hu, and said, and she said to God, Ribono Shalom, Holvil v'ata atid lohargo b'tzame, Eich b'sartani v'amarta li hina charavi alad ben. God, master of the universe, since you're going to kill him with thirst, how could you have informed me that I would conceive and give birth to a son? V'alpenei kol echav yishkon, and that he would dwell among all his brethren. That was part of when the angel came to Hagar the first time when she was pregnant. Yishmael Gan came Amar, and Yishmael also spoke, and he said, since you're going to kill me with thirst, Lama basarta l'avi, why did you inform my father? Ve'amarta uli Yishmael shmaticha, saying, and I've heard Yishmael. As then, Ve'yishmael ukimet kolanar, God heard the voice of the young man. Imken ya perush sichim, milashon sicha v'dibor. And we have to understand this word under one of the bushes, not as bushes, but on account of the conversation, the speech. So that was interesting. Okay, here's the Shla, Rabbi Isaiah or Rabbi Avraham Alevi Horowitz, 16th, 17th century. And this small font is the Midrash that we already read, and he's going to comment on it. V'yesh lehakshot. We have a difficulty with the Midrash. Malchei Sharet Sharatzu la'akev aliyata be'er li'Yishmael. They wanted to stop, to hinder the lifting up of the well to Yishmael. U'bevadai hayamet. And then, of course, he would have died. Kamo she'he'id ha'katuv. Just like the pasuks testify, v'teshlecha te'yalad v'gomer, she tossed the boy, etc. Ki amra, because she said, Hagar said, al era b'mot ha'yalad. I won't see the death of the boy. So he was about to die. If so, how could it occur to the angels that he would die? And what would happen to the future? That Yishmael was meant to kill the Israelites with thirst. If Yishmael would now die, the future is already written. You would find that the knowledge of the future was cancelled. Ela ha'inyan kamo shekatavti. Rather, it's like I wrote, ha'yedida b'atidot, hi kafi ha'ra'ui v'lo memusklak. Knowledge of the future, this is really important, is according to what's fitting or suitable or worthy, v'lo b'muksak, but it's not for sure. Rak kafi ma shemuchan le'et ata mitzad p'tichat ha'makor. It's rather, it's according to what is prepared at the time now from the aspect of the opening of the womb. I'm not sure what that means. Ve'az ha'yediyah b'yedita at atzmokach. And the knowledge of himself is thus. Aval, efshar lehishtanot. It's possible to change. Bekoach hitgabrut ha'bechira. With the strength of overcoming the choice. U'bakshu malchei asharit me'akadosh baruch hu. What were the angels requesting? Sheyishaneh hara'ui behechrach, to change what is worthy or suitable by force. V'lo ratza HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Hashem didn't want to. Rak amar ba'asher hu sham. He only said in the place in that which he's there. V'habechira nituna. And the choice was given. V'im haya rotze Yishmael litgaber v'shalo lichto. And if Yishmael would have wanted to overcome and not to sin, and this is the scarier part, or Yisrael Shabbato Hador Hayut Zadikim, Israel in that same generation would have been righteous. Lo haya b'muchzak, it wouldn't have happened. Kamo shehaya b'ra'ui, like what would have been worthy of actually happening. So he's saying, and this is what we today who are being vocal are trying to say, is that everyone has free will. Nobody is forced to make appalling, abhorrent, disgusting decisions, no matter what their circumstances are. Everybody has free choice. And we know that we, the Jewish people, have work to do, and thank God we're all coming together and unifying and doing the right thing. Okay, but that's not where we're ending.
Wait, can you go back and explain that again?
So he's saying that just because this was in the future, that Yishmael's descendants were going to kill the Israelites in this thirst, it didn't have to happen. Either Yishmael could have overcome and chosen to do the right thing, or we, the Israelites, could have been tzaddikim at that time. But we were in the process of being exiled for having done idolatry. So we weren't tzaddikim at that time. But in
so
either...
they're referring to a specific time?
Yeah.
That already had happened.
Yeah, that time that we read
from
Isaiah.
They're talking about the future of something that happened in the past.
Yeah.
Like in relation to the past.
Yeah, but
it's
I'm
not what those ongoing.
No. It's talking about the specific incident of the Israelites passing through Arab country because they thought they would help them, and they ended up killing them. And the book, that's as interpreted in the book of Isaiah. Okay, So now we have the B'nai Yisachar, who is a Hasidish Rebbe. And he quotes this Gemara, which we're just going to read in English. There was a certain old woman who came before Rav Nachman. She said to him, the exilarch, that's the Rosh Hashiva, and all the sages in his house have been sitting in a stolen sukkah. She claimed that the exilarch's servants stole her wood and used it to build the sukkah. And this is a whole long sugya about, is a stolen sukkah kosher? She claimed that the exilarch's servants stole her wood and used it to build the sukkah. She screamed, but Rav Nachman did not pay attention to her. She said to him, a woman whose father, Abraham, our father, had 318 slaves screams before you and you do not pay attention to her? She claimed that she should be treated with deference due to her lineage as a Jew. Rav Nachman said to the sages, this woman is a screamer and she has rights only to the monetary value of the wood. However, the sukkah itself was already acquired by the exilarch. So this did cause Rav Nachman to respond. I don't know if she felt like justice was served, but she did get certain compensation. So that's a crazy story. And her reason is also super weird, that she's this descendant of Abraham, and this is what she says, that had 318 slaves. It's very strange, or servants, we could say. So Rashi there in the Gemara explains that Avraham Avinu had 318 children born in his household, so they were under his command. We need to really meditate on the words of this woman. Why did she relate herself to Avram in this place? That word should look familiar to you. Servants. So how did she think she was raising the level of Avram in that he had 318 servants? And if she wasn't speaking in wisdom, why would the rabbis have brought her words? What's the point of this story appearing in the Talmud? We can explain her words as words of wisdom. So I can, with what was written about Hagar, tossing her child under one of the bushes. Why does the Torah tell us that where she tossed him, that it was under a bush? But according to my opinion, it is, when Avram went out to war, he took with him 318 servants. Anybody remember what that is? So he took the 318 servants. It's not written as Shin Yud Chet. And we say that that was Eliezer because that's gematria of his name as well. Ayin b'megale amukot, so it's a book, I don't know what it is, hu laharot al zuchut gimel avot, gimel ragle hamerkava, gimel kavin. So he describes the three avot and the three legs of the chariot and three lines are a merit. Avram kava chesed, Avram represents the line of chesed, Yitzchak hadin, justice, Yaakov harachamim, and Yaakov is mercy. V'nechmat ha'tavar ledati. This is very nice according to my opinion. Dihine hayaza b'sha'a she'atzah lehatzia lot, she'abo nitzutzei hamelucha shel David, regal rev'i'i. So this was at the time, when did he gather these 318 men? When he was going to redeem Lot as a captive, that he was the sparks of kingship of David, who's the fourth leg of the chariot. Havin, understand. Al kopanim ba'avur ze lakach shin yod chet avadim lahorot al gimel pa'amim kav b'gematria shin yod chet. So he took these 318 servants to show you that 318 is 3 times 106 kuf vav, that word for line, that we had the three lines, and the three lines of kav, of the three avot, equals siach. V'hinek hagar. And behold, Hagar, when she saw Yishmael was in danger, she tossed him under one of the bushes. To show that even though he didn't have the merit of all three lines, like an Israelite who came out of Yaakov, that they have the merit of all three avot, Shehem Merkeva leGimel Kavim, that this is the chariot of the three lines, the fourth being David. Al kol zeh yesh leschut echad hasichim. despite all this, he does have the merit of one of the siach bush, 318. Hainu echad min siach kav echad Avram. One third of the siach is the kav. Remember, kav, the gematria is three times three is siach, and that was Avraham. And it would be worthwhile for God to hear his cry at the time of his sorrow. And behold, God heard his cry. And just like the angel said to Hagar, God heard the voice of the Nar in the place where he was. That is to say, even though he's only holding on to one line, Basher Husham, in the place where he is, Kedai Hu Sheishma Tzakato. He's worthwhile that I should hear his cry. Vihine Ha'isha Hazot Mizera Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. And this woman in the Gemara comes from all three of them. Kasher Tzaka Velo Natha. When she cried out and she wasn't answered. So therefore she spoke in wisdom. Itata Dehavale Avuha Siach Avadim. I'm a woman whose forefather is this three had 318 servants. Leharot al Gimel Kavim, to show the three lines that she came from. Halo Yishmael nishmat zakato al pi shelo hayalo elez chuto kav echad. Yishmael was heard, his cries were heard, even though he only had one. Okay, Shir Ma'on, we've seen him before in the last couple of years. You can read his very tragic biography, and it makes it all the more poignant what he says. So, Hine Yishmael chet. So Yishmael did these three capital sins, idolatry, inappropriate sexual relations, and murder, as it says in the Midrash. Aval le'etzik nato chazar b'tshuva. But when he was old, he did tshuva. Umuva b'Rashi l'kman, and Rashi brings below, v'nitavchu lo kol avonot l'skuyot. All of his sins were turned into merits. Umimela lo hifsid Avram avino lav ha'shalom b'bano me'uma. And Avram didn't miss anything from his son. He had him in full. Aval im haya dar b'makom yashuv, az afilu im hu ba'atzmo lo haya mesit acherim lichto. So now he says something very interesting. Had he dwelled in a civilized village, remember, we learned in the Psukim twice that he was in the wilderness. So the Shir Ma'on is saying, had he been in a civilized spot, in a populized village, even if he himself hadn't caused others to sin, in any case, when those people in surrounding him would have seen his evil acts, they would have learned from him. They would have said, look at how the son of Avram, the prince of God, behaves. What would others do? By definition, he would have been causing many others to sin just by virtue of who he was. And had that been the case, when he would have repented, they wouldn't have repented. And he wouldn't have been able to do complete repentance. Because the one who causes others to sin, it's not enough that they do tshuva. And this is paraphrasing this line from Yeshayahu. He gives marvelous counsel, made great wisdom. Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sheyashav b'midbar, that he would dwell in the wilderness, below b'yishuv, and not in a civilized area. V'darko u'machshavotav tamid liot ravat keshev. And his whole way and all his thoughts would be on archery. V'zeh v'yihi Elokim atanar v'yigdal. And that's what it means by God was with the boy and he grew up. B'ma sheyashav b'midbar, in that which he settled in the wilderness. And that which he was an archer, Hashem was with him for the good. So he didn't have a chance to influence others in his actions before he did tshuva. Okay, and this is not the final source, but maybe it will be. Okay, so the Ayelet HaShachar is going to quote this Zohar. V'amar Rabbi, Rabbi said, Asur l'adam l'itpalel rasha'im, she'istalku min ha'olam. It's forbidden for a person to daven that wicked people be removed from the world. This is a very interesting thing, especially with what we're going through. She'el malei salku kuchabrucha l'terach min ha'olam. Because if God had removed Terach, Avram's father, who we know was wicked, but also did tshuva later in his life, if he had removed him from the world, kishaya oved avadazara, when he worshipped idols, loba Avraham avinu leolam, Avraham wouldn't have come to the world, v'shivte Yisrael lohayu, and the tribes of Israel wouldn't have been, v'amelch David, and King David, u'melch ha-mashiach, and Mashiach, v'atorah lo nitna, and the Torah wouldn't have been given, v'kol otam tzadikim v'chasidim v'neviim lohayu ba'olam, there wouldn't be any of the righteous people and the pious people and the prophets. Amar Yehuda Kevan Sheroeh Kadosh Baruch Hu Shalonim Tzav Rashim Klum Mikol Otam Ha'inyanim Makativ Vayavo Shnei HaMalachim Sodoma. So then he has a question, and I'm not sure where the Zohar is going from here, but the two angels who are going to save Lot then. Okay, so the Yalat HaShachar is going to quote this Zohar. And here he quotes it in this paragraph. V'chein ma da'amrinam v'bava kama she'akadosh baruch hu amar l'moshe she'lo lehi lachim v'moav. And this is the same thing as when God tells Moshe he can't go to war against the nation of Moav. Kevan she'tzarich latzeit miham Rut ha-Moavia, because Rut is going to come from them. Hare she'ishira uma shlema lichiot af al pi she'ayu resha'im mishum she'teitze miham Rut. He let an entire wicked nation remain because Rut was going to come out of that. And when Moshe killed the Egyptian in Parshat Shemot, he saw that there wouldn't be a man, and Rashi, he saw there was no man, and Rashi explains that there wouldn't be a man to come out of him who would convert. No good would come out of this man, and that was okay. That was why it was okay that Moshe killed him. V'terach nitzul, Terach was saved, kevan she'yatza mimenu Avram b'chol Yisrael, because Avram and all of Israel would come out of him. V'davka kishrotzim ladun et adam al shem sofar, Letzadhara. And this is why we want to judge a person by his end in the aspect of his evil. Omrim ba'asher husham. We say these words from our pasuk in the place where he was. De'eno dan et adam ele lefi ma'asav de'oto sha'a. We only judge a person at his deeds at that moment. Lechein afa pi she'yishmel avar averot. Therefore, even though Yishmael did sins, mikomakom, in any case, kevan de'levasof yaseh tshuva, since in the end he would do tshuva, hu nikra tzadik. He's called a righteous person. Kevan delitzat tov danim et adam al pi hatid. Because with that aspect of good, we judge a person by virtue of on the future. Aval etzad hara, li'inyan zeh shebanav yamitu et b'nei Yisrael v'tama, b'zeh omrim de'en danin ele lefi ma'asav de'otosha. So if it's going to be good things, we judge you based on your future. But if it's evil things, there's always an option for doing tshuva. And he saved him even though these wicked people would come from him. Because Hashem judged him at that moment. Okay, so we're left with a lot of questions and a lot of frustration at what the descendants of Yishmael are doing. I want to show you where he does tshuva in next week's parsha. V'ikbruoto Yitzchak v'Yishmael banav el marat ha-machpelah. So his Yitzchak and Yishmael, his sons, buried him. This is Avram, of course, in the Marat Machpelah. And Rashi there says Yitzchak v'Yishmael, mikan she'asa Yishmael tshuva. From here we learn that Yishmael did tshuva, v'holich et Yitzchak lefanav, and he put Yitzchak before him, v'hi seva tova she'namar ba'Avram. And this is the ripe old age that it said that Avram would die in, implying that even before Avram died, because he died at a ripe old age, Yishmael did tshuva, and there was this nice family reunion between Yishmael and Yitzchak. And Yishmael accepted his place in the family, and that Yitzchak came first, as we see in the pasuk. Veikbru oto Yitzchak v'Yishmael. So what can we get out of this? I think we're not talking about Hamas. I think Hamas has already put themselves in the category of Amalek, who comes from Esav, not Yishmael. So we're not talking about this. But I think what we can be hopeful and what we can daven for is that the descendants of Yishmael, in the tradition of Yishmael, with this potential for coexistence and for working together that we've seen through the Abraham Accords, that we can daven for that to be the stronger aspect of Yishmael's descendants over what we're seeing in Gaza, which is just one tiny little strip, and that we can daven for all the other descendants of Yishmael to overcome their bad choices, to make the right decision. And that's what I'm taking from all these sources. And I want to end with the words of Matisyahu. This is a song from the album Youth, when he was still from, It's called What I'm Fighting For. You can find the tune on wherever you get your music. It's a beautiful song. So What I'm Fighting For is worth far more than silver and gold. What I'm Fighting For is a chance to unite the past when a brother's coming home at last, fighting together for lives. Sons and daughters of Abraham, lay down to a higher command. Don't be tricked by the acts of man, God's wisdom revealed in a holy plan. A chance to unite the past when a brother's coming home at last, fighting together for lives. To Zion we roll, and we're not all alone. Unite and you will find. What I'm fighting for is worth far more than silver and gold. What I'm fighting for is a chance to unite the past when a brother's coming home at last, fighting together for lives. To Zion we roll, and we're not all alone. Unite and you will find what I'm fighting for. So wait, may we see unity for all people who are good, and may that light and unity that we're putting out in the world overcome all the evil, and may we see good things in the very near future. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.